Dillard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
Well, I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
That was Cheryl Bosa and Nick Bosa. Niners desperately missed Nick Bosa on Sunday in Green Bay against the Packers. Welcome back to Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. No Willard and Dibs this week. They're off for Thanksgiving, and happy early Thanksgiving to everybody out there. It's Mark Grandy, Lo Neal, and Jake Hutchinson with you. Lo Neal, of course, one of the greatest fullbacks to ever roam the earth. Jake Hutchinson, you read his stuff on the Niners and all things Bay Area sports on 95.7 The Game. Back for day number two with this crew here on Willard and Dibs. And we've been breaking down Niners and where the season went wrong, and it seems like it went wrong from the very beginning. The second the Super Bowl ended, nothing has really gone smoothly for the San Francisco 49ers. And I wanted to ask you guys this question because I was listening to Steiny and Guru earlier today, and this is a question that Steiny threw out early on, and I think we can use this question to get into what I want to talk about. And that was, and that is, what's the main culprit for the 49ers' failure so far this year? And I think a lot of people might say injuries. A lot of people might say, I don't know, maybe Shanahan's failure to adjust. A lot of people might go what you guys were talking about just last segment. It is just you don't got the dogs in the trenches anymore, right? So would you guys agree with it? Is it just you simply don't have the dudes in the trenches anymore to get stuff done? Is that the main reason for the Niners' failure so far this year?
I think that's a major part of it.
Yeah.
I think when you don't have a center, and especially a left guard, who are able to get push in the run game, which is, again, one of the foundations of how you operate as a team. Everything is based off of that. You run play action off of it when the run game is going well. I think that's a fundamental problem. And also, you're old, man. Sorry if that's harsh, but this team has been through the ringer. They've been through playoff games year after year after year. And the fact that they can usually turn it around when they start slow, yeah, sometimes they can do that. But this team, for a number of reasons, I think a lot of it being in the trenches and just not having those weapons and having star players who have been through a lot and get hurt because they're older and because they have been through all those games, I think it comes up with a recipe of you went into the season kind of unprepared after a bad training camp. You don't have any of the depth where you can afford a lot of these injuries. And then when it comes time to execute, you almost always have a key penalty at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it starts, in, like I said earlier, just in the trenches, like we're continuing to talk about the horses. When you play quarterback and you think about Tom Brady, arguably, if not the best quarterback that ever played, if there were speed rushers that came on the edge of Tom Brady, played with some great pass rushers in his era, that guys like to get up the field, Dwight Freeney, Sean Merriam, all the guys, you just name it, guys that could get after you. What did he do? He stepped up in the pocket. Not necessarily run, Lamar Jackson, all those other guys they want to take off, but he would step up in the pocket. When you have speed guys outside, you got to be able to climb up in a pocket and still keep your eyes downfield. When you don't have a good center and the pocket now is in your lap, you can't step forward. Yeah. You have to keep drifting back. It leads into more sacks. You can't climb in the pocket. It takes away vision. When you can't climb in the pocket to be able to stay in the safe zone as a quarterback, now you're flushing out. Now you're moving. Now you got to take your eyes off of downfield. It puts you in a different place. Hence, why does Purdy have more? He scrambles more than any quarterback. You talked about all the things that he has to do this year because of the fact it's breaking down up front. Because there's not the solid, consistently blocking up front, Purdy is now out of his element and he has to run and make him plays with his legs more than he has to. It's off schedule and it's put a huge strain on the offense. It's affected him. But yeah, he might scramble for that first down. But if he would have had a second more, he would have hit a touchdown.
No question.
Yeah. You ask what's wrong with this offense. Why isn't it scoring? So now Purdy breaks pocket because he has to run out because the pocket's in his face and he can't go downfield and have those big, huge plays. And we're cheering because he scrambled and picked up 10 yards for a first down and kept the chains moving, but he missed a touchdown. That's a problem.
Yeah. I also think from an X's and O's perspective, teams ripped off the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs threw a ton of man coverage. They pressed the Niners receivers. dared them to win. Debo Samuel, that was one of the main reasons they lost the Super Bowl. Trent McDuffie just clamped Debo in man coverage, and a lot of teams threw that at the Niners, and they didn't really have answers for it. And then when they get into key third down situations, a lot of the time what happens is teams will overload one side. The 49ers' protections, even if they do hold up, they might not be set right, and so you got free rushers often to Purdy's blind side, so he's taking a lot of shots, and he has to throw hot, which is how the 49ers tend to run their offense. They don't max protect like other teams for the most part. They say, all right, if someone's coming, you throw hot to this guy. And what teams figured out is if that's like a 3rd-and-7 situation, you can make him throw 4 or 5 yards and stop that. And so you go 4th-and-2, 49ers don't go for it a lot of the time, or they're not in a position to go for it. Yeah. And teams have stopped the 49ers that way because a lot of their bread and butter stuff doesn't work, and teams have played more zone now that McCaffrey's back, but you're still not getting push on the offensive line with McCaffrey back, so you can't really even get to that bread and butter stuff.
Yeah. Without a doubt. When you're in 3rd-and-5 or more, it's hard to be able to – you can't just sit. Defense can go play sticks. They understand because the pressure can get to you. So you're 3rd-and-3 or less, that's when you can win off hots. When you have hots, that means there's 2 to a side. That means you can say, okay, we don't care if we max, they don't care if they max protect. We're going to bring one extra guy from a side. And so what the receiver has to do, he's hot. So he's hot at just. So he's lined up. And if it takes 2 come, that means the receiver looks in and him and the quarterback's on the same page and he knows hot. That's exactly what, you know, he's talking about there. So when that happens, Jake's saying, hey, look, when they're going hot like that, the quarterback has to get rid of the ball. So it's usually a 2 or 3 yard route because it's the beat the hot route. You don't can't get 6, 7, 8 yards because you don't have the time. Now, I just talked about the offense side of the ball. What's going on with the breakdown up front? Quarterbacks, the ball, you know, the defensive line is in his lap. He can't climb up in the pocket, so he has to scramble. And now he's out of, you know, he's out of sync, missing the touchdown, missing the home run. That's where he's saying, why isn't this offense able to score? Why aren't they scoring a lot more points? Because you don't have time and your receivers can't beat one-on-one press. That's what. Now let's switch to the defense side of the ball. If you don't have the same situation, if you don't have a nose guard or a guy that's playing the 3 technique that can create a new line of scrimmage and be dominant at the point of attack, you are giving up 4 or 5 yards of crack. When you're giving up 4 to 5 yards of crack on defense, you're a sieve. And you can't stop. If you can't stop the run, now teams can run, they can pass, they can play action. And then you say, okay, we got to commit because we can't stop the run. So now we got to put 8 guys in the box, 9 guys in the box. Now we got a single high safety. Now you open up for play action because now the linebackers have to cheat up. They're cheating up because they're saying, we got to hit this because if we stay back 5 to 7 yards like a linebacker stays back, if we stay back, they're going to get on us and they're going to be able to get us downfield. So we got to hit it. And so once you hit it now.
Now you can beat over the middle. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, so but I agree with everything you guys are saying, but this also seems like, I mean, the Niners' offensive line has been relatively healthy all season long, right? Like, you haven't had a lot of injuries there. Obviously, Trent Williams right now is a bad one and a major one, and you're going to be much worse as an offensive line without Trent Williams. Defensive line is a little bit of a different story. Javon Hargrave obviously has missed the majority of the year and will not play the rest of the season. But you've had relative health elsewhere. Obviously, Nick Bosa, another big one that missed the game on Sunday against the Packers. But this is generally 2 units that, for the most part, have been relatively healthy. And on the defensive side, even before Javon Hargrave went down, I think you guys saw some of these issues cropping up even before that. And I know you pointed out yesterday, Javon Hargrave, not really the run stopper that you're going to get on the interior of the D-line. He's more one of the best pass rushers on the interior of the D-line in the NFL. At least he has been in his past. This almost sounds to me, guys, it's like a failure not just on the guys on the field, but a failure of planning on the coaching staff in the front office from putting enough dudes on the roster in the first place. Like, this goes further than just, the guys aren't playing well. This goes to, did the roster get set up in such a way to lead them to success this year?
I don't think it did. I think that's something that I called out from the start of the season, that I was worried about the defensive tackle spot. And I know they got Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos, but that doesn't help you on the interior, even though they're having to play Gross-Matos as a defensive tackle because they don't have the dudes. It's just something where I know that their fundamental is to get after the quarterback, but you have to stop the run and be sound there to be able to do that. And I like Malik Collins mostly as a pass rusher. He's not a great run defender. Him and Javon Hargrave next to each other, it's not a great run. That was their plan. It was those two guys who were both on the wrong side of 30, who are really good pass rushers, but are not the sort of gap-plugging nose tackles that can really hold up against double teams and be gap sound. And they didn't address that position. And then Devondre Campbell, he was, I think, a little bit better in this second half, but he's not been good this year. And so you have that next to Fred Warner, and you're asking so much of your linebackers and your DBs to get downhill and funnel. And there are questions to be asked about Jair Brown and how quickly he triggers to the ball. There's just a lot of question marks, and it's every single game. And so that goes back to, as you're saying, I think that is a question for the front office of, did they set up this roster for success? And I don't really think they did.
Yeah. So 888-957-9570. How did we get here? Where did we go wrong? Is this just a case of players not playing up to their potential? Or is this just a team that, whatever the reason, whether it was financial constraints and deciding to pay Javon Hargrave 2 years ago and needing to pay Ayuk and Debo a couple years before that and what Bosa did to you a year and a half ago? Or is this just a front office, coaching staff, a team, you know, team-wide that maybe misinterpreted who they have on their team this year?
Well, it's just hard. You can't put no Shetland pony in the Kentucky Derby and think you're going to win.
I say that every day.
You know, you just can't do it. And when you're talking about the points that you're making, I'm just sitting here and you're talking about here Hargrave and here's these guys that are elite type of pass rushers in the interior.
Yeah.
So now you're saying I have an elite pass rusher in interior, which is great. But now when I got to ask that player to be an every down player, now I got to ask him to hold up against a double team. I got to ask him to hold up and play 30, 40, 50, 60 plays a game, hold up against a run. But now on third and two or three, I got to go tell you to go get the quarterback. You've already spent a lot of energy because you're not used to taking on double teams because you've been a spot player. You've been a guy that's usually for third down. You have different type of offense and defenses as you're playing against, and you've not been asked to do that role. Now you're putting guys in a role that they're not. They're those guys that are going to beat you. They're going to beat you up front, boom, boom, real quick. But now they're jumping out of a lane to beat you, but they're opening up a space. See, these are those type of guys because Harvey and them, they're so quick with their hands. Bam, bam. And they might already beat the guard, but they're up the field on the left side and the right side's wide open. Now you got a gap that you can go through, and now the linebackers happen to do too much. So you got guys that can play certain things, but they do not fit this system, and that's what makes this system not be effective because you got guys penetrating upfield, beating their guys because they're not strong enough at the point to say, you know what, I'm going to be mano a mano, I'm going to hold a point, I'm going to hold this double team, and I'm going to let the linebacker, they're not good enough. That's not how they're built. I'm not saying they're not good. They're not built for this system.
I agree. And I think that's exactly what the Packers attacked, especially in the first half, is they let those guys get upfield and they said, okay, fine, see you later. And then they did that little, you know, Jordan Love did his little pirouette handoff. Huh. Jaden Reed, you know, went in orbit motion behind him. And then Josh Jacobs had a hole right up the middle because the 49ers defensive tackles are nowhere to be seen. And by that point, you know, the linebackers are getting cleared out. And it's just hard when the thing that's supposed to be your first line of defense is not involved in the play.
Okay, so what is maybe most concerning for me, if I'm trying to think about this as from a Niners fan's perspective, and maybe even from a front office perspective, a team building perspective, about not this season, but in the future, if you got all these issues cropping up where you just don't have the dudes, or maybe you have some dudes but they're not in the right spot, or the scheme isn't right, whatever the case
partial,
may be.
Partial dudes.
You got parts of some dudes. All these issues are cropping up right now when you're paying your quarterback $1 million. Like, what happens when your quarterback is making near the top of the league? Like, it's going to become 10 times more difficult to get the right kind of talent in here to fix the issues that are plaguing the offensive and defensive lines, right? That has to be a major, major concern for John Lynch, for Kyle Shanahan, for everyone in the front office thinking about, okay, we got issue X, issue Y, and issue Z. How do we go and do this? We don't really have guys that we drafted recently that are waiting to fill in those spots. By the way, if they did, they would be playing and they would be succeeding right now. So, We're going to have to pay our quarterback this offseason. We're already kind of in financial trouble considering all the other contracts that we've handed out, and it's a good problem to have. You want to have guys that deserve that kind of money, and the Niners have had a lot of those guys. But it's only going to get more difficult. And if this season is as ugly as it is in the trenches, what will it look like 2 years from now when maybe Brock Purdy is making upwards of $50 million, $55, $60 million a year?
Yeah, I think it tells you everything you need to know about this team, that at the trade deadline,
right.
The only move they made was to send a 2025 seventh rounder for a defensive tackle who is not playing for them at all.
Hasn't played a snap, right?
I think he played the first game, and I'm pretty sure he's been inactive the next two. He's not, either way, he has not had any impact whatsoever. I think you get into it where they just said, all right, well, are we really going anywhere? The front office is going, what is this season going to be?
So they waving the white flag at the trade deadline?
I think they're going, well, maybe McCaffrey solves it, but maybe just as likely or more likely he doesn't solve it. And so we have to think about, all right, let's stockpile and hold on to these assets. They've got a bunch of extra picks. They should have 2 third-rounders, 2 fourths, I think 3 sevenths, depending on how that compensatory stuff goes down. But they're going to have a full array of picks. And so I think they went, well, there's so many needs. You could point to a bunch of needs, and there wasn't one clear thing. So, you know, hold on. We're not really sold on this roster to do it. Let's just, you know, we drafted well this year. Let's do it again next year, and maybe that's what will preserve us.
Yeah, this is simple for me. I think that you and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan needs to sit down. And this offseason, you got to have that come to Zegers talk. And it's got to be serious and it's got to be direct. Cal and John has to get back on the same page and get locked in. What do I mean by that? You're saying, hey, they got half the man, they got half the guys. You're right, they got some guys that can do it, some guys that can't. This is going to be a fundamental thing where these coaches and head coach and the scout and John, the GM, has to be on the same page and say, what are we playing? What kind of defense are we going to have and what type of offense? Because you can't just say, we're going to stay with this system if you're going to get those type of guys. You can't ask your chef to make you a gumbo and you don't have no seafood and you don't have a seafood gumbo and you don't have seafood. So you got to figure out what are they trying to make. That's the biggest disconnect. Because like you said, Hargrave is still one of the best pass rushers as far as interior line. But is that what you want? What are you trying to do defensively, offensively? What are you doing? You want to run a zone off? Then I got to go get linemen that can come off the ball, that's going to create a new line of scrimmage, that's going to be able to maul people, push people off the ball, that still can run laterally. If I don't have that, I got to go get that. What type of system are you trying to create? And right now, the 49ers, to me, they're not on the same page, office and front office and coach, because your players don't fit the scheme that you're trying to do right now, especially defensively.
Well, it's weird because, and this gets into maybe coaching staff issues, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. You just have so many guys and so many talented guys that are getting promoted and leaving for other jobs. I mean, you just run through each of the last like 4 years. Robert Saleh in 2020, Mike McDaniel in 2021, D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slovic in 2022, Clint Kubiak last year, 2023, and there are others, of course, but you're getting to a point where maybe your coaching staff is relatively, the coaching staff cupboard is relatively bare now, and you don't have the names that can fill in at that spot, and now you're asking relatively inexperienced coaches, potentially, guys that maybe aren't ready for the jobs that they're stepping into, to try to fit a square peg in a round hole, to try to make this defensive front into one that frees up Fred Warner, to make this offensive line work for a zone stretch running scheme. Like it's,
but it can't. It can't. And that's what we're talking about. When you hear your coach say, hey, look, I got guys shooting. I gotta watch the tape to see. I got guys just, I want them to shoot. If they miss, it's okay because they're coming full speed. A bunch of guys, and then it's swarm time.
You got Nick Sorensen saying, we teach them to be aggressive, and sometimes that leads to missed tackles. Well, you don't have the talent behind the guy missing the tackle to clean up the missed tackle.
That's what's going on. So there are some fundamental things that has to change with this team. You know, if they're going to try to get this thing to work, Jake, Shanahan got to tell John – this is what I need, or whoever's a D coordinator, whoever's going to play the style of defense they want to play, or if you're going to change the defensive scheme altogether, you got to get the players to play the scheme that you're trying to create. You don't have a team like a 3-4 defense, the Steelers, the 3-4. You got to have great outside linebackers, can play up, play down, put their hand in the dirt, can play the 3-4, can cover. Oh, that's a 3-4 defense. You play with four linebackers. A 4-3, you play with four down linemen and three linebackers. 3-4, you play with three down linemen, four linemen. So do you have the right guys for the scheme that you're trying to do? And that's what we have not seen, in my opinion.
I'm with you. I think fundamentally you're going to have to go into this offseason and you can almost name every single position as a position of need. You go, okay, linebacker, yes. Defensive tackle, yes. Defensive end, probably. Wide receiver, sure. You could use another backup wide receiver. You don't know how long Ayuk is going to be out. Offensive line, clearly. You can name basically any position other than probably right guard, because you're going to need a future Trent Williams replacement. Yeah. You can go through just about every position on this roster as a position of need, but I think we're all on the same page here that they have to start in the trenches. You have to get more physical. You just don't have enough dudes that are beefy that can hold up and create force, and then you don't have guys behind it that are executing that way. And so I think Kyle and John have a shared vision. Right. I just think that vision might have to evolve, and they have to take this offseason, assuming this thing continues to go sideways, which I think most of us expect, and they're going to have to say, all right, what do we have to look at? Do we have to reevaluate the way we value certain positions and move forward under a new vision?
You can't miss in the draft. You cannot miss, like you're saying. You know what I'm saying?
When they did about for like 3 or 4 straight years almost.
Right. They have. But you, Jake is bringing up some great valid points, because I'm going to tell you right now, there's a guy that people think, oh, he's going to play forever and he's a beast. And we know it, Nicky Bosa. Nicky can't play 70, 80 plays a game. This guy's going to break down.
He's been playing more this season. He's played more than he's ever played.
And maybe he's currently breaking down.
Because you can't keep this guy out. You got to get serviceable backups that's going to come in and productivity don't fall. Look what happened when he went off the field. And that just goes to show, he has to play at a certain level all the time. If he doesn't, defense is not good. So there's a lot of things that this team as an organization has to just say, look, this is what who are we trying to be? What is our identity going forward? If we're going to win, we have to understand we need to change some things philosophy-wise. If we're going to use these type of guys, then we need to say, we got to put a defensive scheme that's going to fit what they can do, and we can't be stubborn.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. Changing things philosophy-wise, you use the word evolve. I think that's what has to happen this offseason. The only question is Kyle Shanahan too stubborn to do that? And that's something we can continue to dive in as the show moves along today. We do got to get out of here in just a sec, because we got Mark Schlereth coming up on the other side. Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL Insider, will pick his brain. I'm sure he would love to talk about the trenches. And I'm sure he's seeing the same thing we're all seeing. The Niners not good in the trenches. Suddenly, that's coming up on the other side. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And also, Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. Again, that's BayAreaOilChange.com. Coming up on the other side, it's Mark Schlereth. Stink joins Willard and Dibbs, but no Willard and Dibbs today or for this entire Thanksgiving week. Happy early Thanksgiving to everybody out there. It's Mark Randy, one of the greatest fullbacks of all time, Lo Neal, and Hutch, Jake Hutchinson, who you read Niners and Bay Area sports on 95.7 The Game all the time. We're back with more coming up next right here on 95.7 The Game.